Our reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 9, and then on to chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. The collection for the Lord's people. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love you have kindled in your, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Generosity encouraged. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Brenda. And now can I invite Sophie up to speak to us about generosity this morning? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Sophie, and we ask that you bless her abundantly. We ask that you be with her through her studies, and we ask that you be with her this morning. Give her your word to speak to us, and open our hearts and ears to hear you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Lizette. In our journey through 2 Corinthians, as a church family, we are focusing on how the love of Jesus in our lives transforms us from the inside out. So far, we've looked at forgiveness, at generosity, that's coming today, but there have been so many areas that already that have been pointing towards that. Looking at how we are vessels carrying God's glory in jars of clay. Our church values are encounter, family, generosity, and transformation. Today, we are looking at generosity. What does it mean to be generous? Why would I be, and how can I be generous? I've broken this down for us today into three stages from our readings. provision, grace, and overflow. Starting with provision, let's read again that verse at the end of our reading today. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Over and over again in Scripture, we see how the Lord provides exactly what is needed. Later in chapter 8, Paul refers to the Lord's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert. The miracle of this provision in Exodus 16 was not just the provision of food, but also the perfect quantifying of it. It says the Lord commanded each one to gather as much as he needs. The Israelites did as they were told, some gathering much and some little. When they measured it, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. That was perfect provision. We are called to trust in the Lord's provision. He alone knows our every need and how to fulfill it. And so, as we consider what it is to be generous, we must hold fast to the faith we profess in a God who provides. That as we choose to give generously, we can trust that it will reap a generous harvest in the kingdom. Just as our reading in chapter 9 tells us, whoever sows generously will reap generously. And so we move on to grace. I'm just going to pause there and just note how remarkable it is how the Lord intertwines a service that we all gather the same message, even if it's interpreted differently, but the way that Anne led our prayers and how much it spoke into what I'm speaking on today. I don't know about you, but the first thing to strike me from today's reading was just how many mentions grace gets. There are actually even more mentions than first meets the eye. The Greek word charis is used here, and not just translated as grace, but also as blessing, generous act, thanks, and privilege. It is at the core of this message that Paul is wanting to portray. And grace is at the heart of the gospel message. Chapter 8, verse 9 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." The ultimate generous act, the ultimate demonstration of grace. Jesus left his holy, untouchable position at the Father's side in order that we too can experience the riches of the kingdom. He became poor in body as he suffered unimaginably on the cross. He became poor in mind and in spirit as he was mocked and given such an unfair trial. He was brought to the lowest of the low so that the veil of the temple would tear in two, so that we might have access to eternal life with the Lord in the kingdom of heaven. It is to eternal wealth that Paul refers in this message, not financial treasures, not material treasures, but ones that cannot be stolen, ones that do not decay or depreciate. Paul refers to how the Corinthians are excelling in faith, earnestness, and love. These things are of so much value in the kingdom of God, and so too is the grace of giving. And so finally, we move to overflow. The result of being confident in the Lord's provision and a knowledge of his grace is how we respond to that. Just as 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. So too we give because he first gave to us. Scripture teaches us that giving is an act of thankfulness, of worship, of faith. If we believe that all things are from the Lord, then we are stewards of all that we possess, not the ultimate owners. And so we can keep coming back to the giver of all things to ask what we can do with what we have. We are called to give generously in money, yes, but also in time, in talents, in kindness. Anything where the other person, our neighbor, is the focus. Paul says in Corinthians, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience. We respond in generous love because we first were generously loved. Today's reading refers to giving not as being something we do under law or command, but instead as a joyful response to the freedom we have received by grace. Paul's phrase, God loves a cheerful giver, doesn't just mean with a smile on your face, as wonderful as that is, but it's a reflection of the heart. We are called to be generous without grudging. And this is sometimes a real challenge and something we can really only do with the Holy Spirit's help. It's really hard, but wow, does it make a difference. Over the last few years, as many of you know, I've struggled a lot with my physical health, sometimes making the simplest of tasks incredibly difficult. The overflow of love I received from some precious, precious people around me, some of which are in this congregation, blew me away. They cooked for me, cleaned my home, drove me to hospital, were just kind, sending messages of love. It was extraordinary. And their kind generosity not only made me feel loved, and that in itself was wonderful, but it drew me closer to Jesus because of the heart with which they gave. It was the overflow of their love for Jesus, and that drew me in turn closer to Jesus. Paul calls us to invest in one another as family, across the generations, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Just as was in our prayers earlier, can I encourage you to think on how God is calling you to be generous today? Maybe he's placed a particular person on your heart, and right now you may not even know that they are in need, But please follow up on that. Even if they're not in need, you're still just sending them a message of love. That has to be a good thing. Maybe the Lord's placed a particular charity or cause on your heart, either to give to financially or to pray for. Both are just as important as the other. Our vicar Paul mentioned last week about doing a skills audit. And as Lizette mentioned earlier, as you came in, you hopefully received the little generosity card. On the back, you've got the QR code to follow up to do a skills audit. Now, I only learned a few years ago what a QR code is. So if that is too overwhelming, please do ask and we can find you some paper access to one. It's really important that you don't feel left out of doing that. Whatever your limitations in what you can offer, I can assure you that you are and always will be a valued member of this church family. The smallest generous act has an eternal wealth. And if you feel you're still at the stages of wrestling with the Lord's provision and grace, and you're just like, I mean, that's all very well, but how on earth can I overflow if I really don't actually believe that stuff? Please, please can I encourage you to dig deeper, to explore what faith in Jesus really means, to look at the accounts of Jesus's life on earth in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just over halfway through the Bible. Please read them. Try praying on your own or with someone. Talk to others and hear their stories of faith. It sounds like a lot of work, but it is so worth it. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your perfect provision, that as we pray, give us today our daily bread, we can do so in faith. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. That you have given to us more than we can ever understand this side of heaven. But I pray that in this lead up to Easter, we would grow in our knowledge and understanding deep within our hearts of your grace and what it means and just how much you love us. And Father, I pray that you would continue to work in us a work of generosity. That as we draw closer to you, we long to share that love, to share of that grace with others. Please, Father, place on our hearts a person, a cause, a group of people that need to hear your love from us today, that need an act of kindness, of generosity. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in our hearts and we long to hear from you today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much, Sophie.